Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Living My Best Disabled Life. Today we have Bella Adler, and we're going to be talking about the Easter Teal Film Challenge again, and also her journey with FND and her aspirations as an actress and dancer and nurse and all that stuff. So, hi, thanks for coming and talking to me.
Hi, thank you so much.
So can we start with what your main, I know you have a lot of disabilities / diagnosis, but what are your main disabilities and how do they affect you?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with FND, which is short for functional neurological disorder, at the age of 16 by the HPV vaccine, which then caused my underlying diagnosis, MCAS, which is a disorder that causes allergic reactions to anything, which is can be hard, but I survived. And then I also have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is where my joints pop out anytime. And then I also was diagnosed with Sjögren's disorder, which is where my nervous system attacks itself. So those are my top three, but I also suffer from gastroparesis and another underlying disorder that we haven't figured out yet, but I'm still working on it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but I just go on with my day and fight through all of my symptoms, but I just not let it get to me, because if I did, then I would just be in bed all day, but we don't want that.
Yeah, and I know you have like a lot of different aspirations and got your eggs in a lot of different baskets, like pursuing all those passions, and that will potentially lead to like careers, but that's a lot to deal with at the same time while like having to deal with so many diagnoses and disabilities and chronic illnesses.
Yeah, I always say we could do hard things. Because honestly, we can, as long as we persevere through our symptoms and whatever we have going on inside. I like to put on like a brave face, even though I know I don't have to. I do it anyways. I always look like I'm okay, but inside I'm not. But I do it for myself, because I know before I was sick, I had so many goals for myself. And at my hardest time, I said, I still have to pursue those goals because my younger me wanted to, and I can't give up, just because for a moment I was blind. I couldn't eat. I couldn't move. I hit rock bottom, but I've cried all day. Like, it was really, really hard for myself, but something snapped in me where I just decided that I can't give up. I have to keep trying. And I think hitting rock bottom, like, really, I was a vegetable. Like, I couldn't talk. Like, it was really hard. I think, like, now being able to talk, to eat, to see, like, yes, I'm still paralyzed and I won't walk again. But I think, like, looking at life as, like, every day I wake up and I can see, like, I can look at you, I can talk to you. I think living like that, like, I look up to everyone and I can see that I can still live and I can still dance. I can still go to school. I look for the future. And I can see that I still have one. So I want to still do things.
How has those experiences like influenced your determination and your resilience?
Yeah. So it makes me just like look at being able to see, just be so, I'm so grateful that I even have a life, because I know some people don't. And it makes me just be so, I'm just grateful, honestly, to be here and to be able to see my family and to eat foods and eat food for a year. So I look at my plate of food, and I'm like, wow, I can eat.
So it's really like the little, it just makes,
so it's the little
it's
things.
It's made you more grateful for the little things and the small things that you're able to do. I mean, not just little things, but
I can go on a walk and roll with my family. And before that, they had to push me, to put me in my wheelchair. Now I can transfer on my own. I can go to a dance class with my sister, and afterward I'd have a seizure there. Like, it's amazing. The progress that I've made through my rehab, like, it's, I made my own film. Like, it's amazing, the progress and the future that I now have.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, like, people think that disabled people can't do a lot, but really, we can do whatever we want to do with our lives.
Exactly.
We're going to have to do differently, but it's not going to be less impactful or something just because we're disabled.
Right.
So, in what ways do you manage to pursue, like, all your career goals at the same time, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So honestly, I separate my days into like what I want to do that day. So I started a nonprofit before I actually became disabled. I have always had a passion for children. Honestly, I vibe with children more than my own age. I've always loved them. But I was sick when I was younger. I had to have a couple of surgeries when I was little, and I'd spend some time at the hospital. So I've always knew the hospital vibe. But I've always felt for the little ones who suffered in the hospital and outside the hospital. So I wanted to create care packages for them. But then COVID hit and I wanted to volunteer and everything, but I wasn't allowed in the hospital very much. But I still wanted to do something. So I decided to create a nonprofit at age 15 for kids and teens. I would deliver packages to the hospital, and then I created them outside the hospital. They're just filled with like distractions, like stress balls, stuffed animals, little things for them to do while they're receiving treatment and while they're going to like PT and all that fun stuff we don't necessarily want to do, but a distraction really for, especially for their parents, to give them like a break. I know my mom definitely needed a break and I needed stuff to do while I was inpatient. But then I expanded it after I realized how much more it was needed, especially for the teenagers, because we're not really thought of when we're inpatient, because it's really more the kids who are thought of when they're needed.
Yeah.
So I have a bigger teen bag, more like self-care stuff, because that's not really given to us while we're in the hospital. Our parents have to go get it. So now I provide it in my bags.
So where do you see, like, I know you've already expanded it, but like, where do you see what are your aspirations with expanding it more now? Yeah. Or is that where you want it to like stay? Well, or do you want to expand it more?
I want to have my bags at every hospital in the U.S. So far, I did Boston. My packages have been in every hospital in Boston. And then I just started here. I did Children's Hospital, Orange County. Here, I would like them in every hospital in the U.S. And then thinking really big, most retreat homes for children are cancer-based, and I would really like one for everyone, like for disabilities, for children who suffer from chronic illness, for children who suffer from heart disease, diabetes, anything. I would like a home for kids, for teens, for adults to just go and escape. That's free. That's the big goal for me. It has passes to go to Disney, to go to SeaWorld, to go to Universal. It has nurses there if you need treatment, has a pool. That's the goal. That's my major goal.
Are you saying like the Ronald McDonald houses, like that kind of thing?
Something like that.
Something similar to that?
Something similar to that, but it's not like a home where you then go to treatment. It's a home where you just stay and you play and you have fun and you meet people. Something like that.
Okay.
It's an escape from reality, like your reality.
Oh, okay. So like almost like a family camp type thing.
Yeah, it's like a family camp for people who are just suffering and need an escape from treatment and doctors. And yeah, like I would have loved it when I was like really struggling and needing an escape from like being poked and prodded, an escape. That's
a cool idea.
Yeah, because most of those are like based, like you have to fit a certain criteria. And I feel like nowadays, everything is such a box. Why do you always have to fit a box? Like, just you should just be able to go and have fun if you really, really need it. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to go if you really want to. You know what I mean? Having a bad day, you really want to go, go. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the Rolette's experience, okay? Kind of like that, where you go and you meet people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of like that. But for everyone. Doesn't have to be just disability. Everybody.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, you know?
I feel like it's just, we as disabled people, I feel like we just like dream really.
I dream real big.
Really big. I mean, I don't know if able-bodied people dream is big, or come up with like these elaborate plans for like different companies they want to start or things they want to pursue. Like, I don't know, like we're always like,
yeah,
going to extremes.
We all, I'll be big. I go big or go home, guys.
Yeah, me too. I can totally relate to that. I was always like that too. So switching the subject a little bit, I know you also participated in the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge.
Yeah.
And your film specifically that I was part of is all about like dance representation and proving that wheelchair dancers exist and we can thrive and we deserve to be in that space with able-bodied people. where did you get the inspiration from it? Did you just get the inspiration from, you know, like robots experience and like taking virtual classes or taking in-person classes? Or was there a specific moment that you were like, okay, this is what I want to do for the film?
Yeah. So actually, I wasn't going to do the film. Josie said I have to do the film, so I did the film. But I had an experience sort of like the film at class. So I was in class and we always go to the like left upper corner because being up front is easier to see. Because if you're more towards the back, you can't see. So like, you know, me and Gabby were up there hanging out. And while we were dancing, this guy kept coming closer and closer to my chair. And yeah, I hit because the more you get my chair, yeah, I'm going to hit you. If you come close to me and I'm spinning, that's going to happen. Like, yeah, I'm going to hit you. And he wasn't overly happy about it, but I don't know what you want me to do when you come close to me. Yeah, my caster is going to hit. So I decided to like be a grown up about it. And I said, sorry. And he just gave me like the nastiest look. And I was like,
where it's like, what are you doing here?
Like, yeah, I was like, I just need a little bit more space because I just need more space. And he was like, and he moved. And I was like, thank you. And I just like moved, like I completely moved on. Like I didn't make a problem out of it. But then like that sparked an idea in me. And I was like, period. I have to, that's it. Like that's the idea. So then we wrote it, but we made it a bit more of like a dramatic thing. Because like that stuff happens like every time you go to a class like that happens all the time. So that's where it came up. But then I wanted to make it more of like a movement idea, which is where you came in with doing the virtual dancing, because I feel like everyone dances so differently, even if you're in a wheelchair. Like it doesn't matter. Like even if you have the same disability, you're still going to dance differently because you take the moves and make it your own, which is exactly what I wanted everyone to do. And it happened. And I put it together.
Yeah,
and
the main like thing with dance is just as long as it's within like the same dynamics, it doesn't matter. It's the opposite side or something. Like some people have directional problems. So they'll like, I don't know, you were supposed to go left. You did right instead or something like that. But no one's going to notice.
No, like I'm visually impaired. So learning choreography is even harder for me because I see when it's supposed to go right, I see it going left. So sometimes I go the wrong way because I saw it the wrong way. So like I even have to work extra harder because I got to flip things. But like seeing everyone do the choreo the way they have to do the choreo and putting it together made me cry because I was like, that's exactly what I wanted. Because showing the world that that's what dance is for us is perfect because that's dance. That's dance for us. And it's exactly what I wanted. So it was perfect.
So the other question was like, what do you want people to get out of it? But you kind of like answered it. So what you're saying is that you hope that like people just understand that dance is dance, no matter how you're dancing.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Or no matter how you do the certain moves and stuff. Or
if you can't move, if you're paralyzed from the shoulder down, you dance with your head. I did that when I was paralyzed from the shoulder down. You put music on, I dance with my head. That like you do you. So dancing.
It reminded me of what you just said. Reminded me of that thing that Haley said on. So you think you can dance like? I'll be dancing until I'm dancing with my eyes or something.
Exactly.
On those lines. And yeah, it's just about movement. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter what you're doing.
So I know you have a lot of aspirations, as we talked about the film, and you also want to get more into acting and potentially dance professionally too. What do you envision your future to be like? And what are some steps that you're going to take to reach like those goals we were talking about earlier?
Yeah. So future, that is honestly a great question because I have a lot of like goals, but I'm not someone that's going to pick one. I'm going to try and pursue them all. So dancing, I take dance classes weekly at Eccentrics Dance Class weekly. And then I work with Kaylee. I help her with her classes. And trying to take more, but I take the classes with my sister. She finishes school in a couple months. So hoping to take more classes this summer. And I would, for acting wise, I used to do musical theater in school before I got sick, but I have been a little scared to go back into it just because, I don't know, honestly, I've just been a little scared. I think the stage frightens me a little bit when it comes to like how accessible they'll be with me. But
so maybe the logistics of like the chair on the stage too.
Yeah. And like my last like experience on it was so like fulfilling and made my heart the last time. And that was right before I got sick. I think I'm afraid to touch it with 10-foot pole. You know what I mean? Like I'm just afraid that it's going to be an awful experience. I'm not going to want to do it, but I'm not going to think that anymore. I'm going to go for it because the film was such a great experience that I want to go back into it. You know what I mean? Like I had so much fun acting and I think I'm ready. There are these acting classes that I heard about that are free that I'm here to try. I'm here to go for it because my main goal was to be in musical theater because mashing my like love for dance and love for acting together is what I'm very passionate about. So that is like the major goal. So that is what I'm looking. Where to find that in LA is a great question.
Being in musicals and stuff like that.
That's the major goal. That's what I love. That's where my like heart is right there.
That is a really good combination. Like
yeah.
Good way to meld the combination of the love of dance and love of acting. Yeah. So it's a good combination. And like, do you sing too?
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah, I was in choir.
I feel like that's part of the musical too. You have to be able to at least.
I've been in choir since third grade and I was in these like musical festivals. You had to like audition for it. Yeah, I love to sing. I haven't done choir here because they would have chorus here, which like melted my heart because I couldn't sing in high school. But yeah, I love to sing, which is like mashing all of my like loves together is musical theater, which is like the major goal. And then obviously the day job, because you got to pay the bills, is nursing or being a child life specialist is what will pay the bills. And then hopefully dancing.
Yeah, the child life specialist is like the people that go into the hospital.
Yeah.
Like are there for the patients and stuff.
Yes. That is,
I used to want to be that, but then I was like, I have way too much medical trauma to like.
So since I'm visually impaired, being a nurse is a little bit harder for me because I see like reading is a little hard and like doing like reading numbers is a little bit hard too. So like, if I were to like give like medicine to a kid, it could give the wrong dose. So like if I got my vision better, I could definitely be a nurse. But for now, I'm majoring in child life specialty. So I have a plan and then going for my major in nursing. So like if my vision gets better, I'm okay. But for now, child life specialist is the plan. So like I can pay for my major. So trying to be logistic here, but hoping for nursing.
Yeah, you have to have a good balance of like being optimistic and like making sure you're like, oh, okay, like I actually can or I can't do this or like
I want to be a professional dancer. I want those things for me, but I have to be like, I have to still pay rent. You know what I mean? Like I have to like be prepared for those life things, but I'm here to prepare everything I want. Yeah.
Yeah. You still got to make sure that like, while you're trying to build your dance career or acting career that
you're
still I feel like disabled people, I don't know if you feel like this, but we're like very well rounded. You got a lot usually for like you got a lot going on. It's good.
It's okay.
You know. We're like very multifaceted people.
Yes, we know how to balance a fun schedule.
So you know, while you're balancing this crazy schedule, what do you do for some like strategies for self-care and like making sure your physical and mental well-being is at a good place?
Yeah,
if you have so much going on, it can be overwhelming, especially. And then you know, there's like the aspect of chronic illness and not knowing like what your pain is going to be like that day.
So definitely with my chronic illness, I never know like if I'm going to wake up and feel my 100% or if I'm going to feel like 30%. For example, yesterday I felt horrific, like horrific, but that doesn't mean I still don't get up and go. Like my sister is performing at Disneyland tomorrow with her school drill team. Super proud of her. But that means I have to prepare to go all day at Disneyland tomorrow and support her. So that means today I rest and rejuvenate and don't do much today. So I myself have to take care of myself to prepare for tomorrow. So today that means I hydrate with electrolyte water and make sure I'm feeding my body exactly what I need. So I'm a person that needs sensory input. So that means that I have a unweighted blanket and I don't do a lot of screen time because I have chronic headaches and I still go outside for a push because I have to teach my body that even though I might be tired, I can't like let that win because if I let it win, then like I go backwards. So I'll still go out for like a 10-minute push for, you know, air and just so my body knows that like it's okay to still move even though like I'm tired and we'll be moving a lot tomorrow. And I like to paint for my mental health. I like to like go online and paint a picture of like a sunset. I think that is one of my favorite things to do for my mental health. I also just got back into reading. For a while I couldn't read. It gave me a lot of headaches and I couldn't read for my vision. But I have read about 3 books in the last month because I can read finally. And that has brought me so much joy. So any book recommendations? Because I've gone through some reading.
Have you tried audiobooks?
Yes, I have tried audiobooks. I do audiobooks sometimes while I'm like in the shower, but for my vision, if I'm not reading the book itself, it doesn't click. I'm a visual person. Do you get what I'm saying? It will stay in my brain if I'm not physically doing it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I do for myself. I also work out with Nikki. That's what I do for my physical self. This has got me so far personally. I started with 1 pound weight and now I'm 6 pounds, which is amazing. She's a miracle worker.
Yeah, it's really good. I feel like sometimes we forget as disabled people, we also need to pay attention to our physical health.
Yes.
And work out, like, I don't know, just because like being disabled sometimes, you know, we don't typically like working out or exercising, but if you find a fun way to do it, then
yeah,
doesn't really feel like
she makes it fun. I definitely recommend.
So what advice do you think you would give your 16-year-old self that was newly diagnosed and trying to navigate this new chapter in life?
I would definitely say don't give up and that this disabled community is definitely a fun one. When I was 16, I didn't have many friends. I was definitely very shy, very shy. And now looking back at my 16-year-old self, I'm definitely not her anymore. I'm not shy anymore. I speak up for myself. I have so many friends and I'm thankful for that because I definitely am thankful for my disability because without my disability, I wouldn't have my community. I wouldn't be able to talk to you right now. I wouldn't have the way I dance now. I wouldn't do hip hop. I was afraid of hip hop. I would just say to her, be thankful for your next chapter of life because this next chapter of life is a great one.
Yeah, that's some really good advice because I feel like sometimes, like I've been disabled my whole life, but there's a lot of people that aren't always disabled, weren't always disabled. And then having to deal with like, a new life is like,
it's all, but it's an adjustment.
This, but yeah, the disability community, you know, before I was in my 20s, I didn't really even like to be a part of the disability community. I like furthered myself around the disability community and I was like, I'm not anything disability related, not gonna have any disabled friends. I want to like pretend I'm not disabled. And I totally regret that now because like having those people that truly understand you really does make a difference, even if it's not like the same type of disability.
Yeah. I mean, all of my friends right now are disabled and my friends who I had before completely don't talk to me anymore. And my best friend since practically birth has stayed by my side and I'm very grateful for her. But the rest of them don't understand. I'm actually okay with that because I think to myself, if this happened to them, I'd be right by their side. But that's just because of the person I am, because I value my friendship with every person I'm friends with. But it's okay because I was also 16 and I if they weren't mature enough for that, that's on them, that's not on me. And my friendships now, disability friendships is a whole nother friendship, like a whole nother friendship. After all that experience, I sat next to a random person and we literally talked about how I used the bathroom. And I was like, I was 9 months, okay, 9 months post wheelchair. And I was like, you talk about that? Like my mind literally was blown because I was like, that's not something you talk about with a random person next to you. But then my next conversation was about what wheelchair I had. And at that point, I was still like a regular hospital wheelchair because I didn't have my own. And I was like, this is not mine. This is rented wheelchair hospital. Like, but it was so eye-opening to me, the conversations you could have with a random stranger that was like totally like random, but eye-opening to me, that a random person. But then my next year, I was asking those questions myself because I became comfortable with my own body.
Yeah.
And asking random strangers.
That's super interesting because I feel like a lot of friendships we have with other disabled people, I feel like it's so much deeper.
Yeah.
Than friendships you ever, even if you've known someone for 10, 15 exactly. years or something, and then to happen to not be disabled, chances are that's more surface level than friend you made a year ago.
Exactly.
I don't know, roulette's experience or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like you see someone in the grocery store and they're disabled, you smile at them because you know you're on the same wavelength. You know we've been through probably completely different stories, but you know we go through the same things every day. Every day.
Yeah.
You know we had to work to get in and out of that car. Putting that wheelchair together is complete hell. But you know you did it. So you know we're on the same wavelength. And it's amazing to me because we're a community. We may be what people decide is small, but we're huge in our eyes.
Honestly, the disability community is a lot bigger than people realize.
Exactly. People think we're like 0.3. I'm like, no, honey, we're huge.
Yeah. Could we talk a little bit about some specific achievements that within these like different sections of what we've talked about, whether it's dance, acting, and all that stuff. What are some achievements that stand out to you that you're specifically like most proud of? Like that's super significant at the moment.
Well, currently, I've never made a film before. I've never done anything like that before. And not only did me and my sister make a film, we co-wrote it, we produced it, we edited it all on our own, which we've never done before. So I think that's still like, doesn't seem real to me in my head. And the fact that it's still like out there and people are seeing it is crazy to me because that for those 2 days, I was like internally shaking and panicking because I've never acted before seating. I was sitting there trying to figure out what to do with my body because I've only acted with everybody and it's completely different, like completely different. Like your body language, usually you like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's so different, so different. So like my first take, I was just sitting. I was like, what do I do with my body? But by like the third take, I was like, oh, okay. I now know what to do with my hands because you only really have your hands because there's not much you can do. You can't slump down like if you had legs. So I was like,
yeah,
it was so eye-opening to me because I was watching my sister because we were acting together. What the difference between her body language was and my body language was. And I was like, I could mimic that with my hands. So I did. And it was like looking back on like the bloopers, which are interesting. I like watched the difference between and I was like, I could see where I felt comfortable and I didn't feel comfortable. And learning that experience, I now know what to do when we make it next year. So like, I don't have to take so many takes again. But I think learning that experience is definitely an achievement for me. So like learning that I am comfortable in my own body to act again. Because for a while, I didn't touch that. I didn't touch that other like side of me again because I just felt like not ashamed of myself, but like nervous. Like I just felt nervous at that side of me because I love that side of me so much. Yeah. So I think
that. Yeah, I guess maybe it's that you didn't know that you could do it. And you also, maybe you don't want to like, not tarnish, but like, you don't want to tarnish your memory, like, your memories of acting
right
prior to the injury are different than how you're going to act.
Yeah. And now that like, I have such a great memory, like this film, like is in my heart. And now that like, I have that, that's a great memory of that. I'm ready to like pursue that again, which I'm so excited because like I'm here for it and I'm excited. And then another one, I think, hey, I'm in school. Like, I'm in college. I didn't think I was going to graduate. Being completely honest, going back to school, wheeling back into school was definitely really hard for me. High school was definitely not high school for me. I did freshman year, half a freshman year because of COVID. COVID hit from freshman year, halfway through. Sophomore year, I did half a sophomore year, and then I had seizures. So then I couldn't go back into school like everyone else did. I had a seizure going to school, and then mom said, you can't go back in because you can't have seizures at school. I said, okay. So then I did the rest of sophomore year at home. I did online school again. And then junior year, I got really sick. I was paralyzed from the shoulders down. I couldn't see, talk. Like, I wasn't a person. So I didn't do school at all junior year. I was homebound instruction, but I didn't really do school. No one wanted to teach me because they thought I wasn't teachable. I was like, there's still a person in here. Like, I was still me. I just couldn't vocalize anything. I would shake my head yes and turn my head for no. That's it. That's all I could do. But we came out here for rehab. My amazing rehab team brought me back to who I am today. And then I slowly got better, very slowly. And then went back home. And then I got worse again all throughout junior year. And then I slowly got better enough to do a little bit of school, but home, because my school didn't want to touch me in football. And then we moved here. We decided Boston was just not it. Too cold. Too cold. We came back home on a big storm and pushing the wheelchair. We're like, absolutely not. No. So we came here when it was like 72. We're like, yep, exactly where we need to be. So we came here. And we started my senior year, and I just rolled in, and I was there was another person. He did not like me in a wheelchair. I don't know if I was like on his territory with being in another wheelchair, but he did not speak. It was just not a good vibe with me and him. I was like ready to be his best friend, and he didn't want it.
You're like, another person in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I was like, he didn't want to talk to me, but no one wanted to talk to me. It was just me and Gabby, and it was an awful, awful experience. I was a part of the dance team. I was part of the dance program. I was the first person a part of the dance program. I was like, paving the way for someone else who wanted to. Horrible experience. Cried, but I paved the way for the next person to be there. Someone else wants to be a part of that program. They're prepared. They're ready. So I'm proud of myself for that, because that's the goal for me. Like, I'm ready to be the first for someone, for them to be next. Because it's not fair for someone to have to go through what I just went through at that school. Like, it's just not, that's just not right for someone. Me and my sister did a duet. Everyone loved it. So they now know that someone can dance in a wheelchair at that school. Here for it. But school's hard. I now have a processing disorder because of the way my brain communicates with my body. But I'm very surprised I graduated, to be honest. Don't know how, because I missed a whole year of school, like a whole year. So because of the California graduating, I had to take two extra classes to be able to graduate on top of the other load. So those were online classes, which were fun, but I could still be a senior when I got here. And I was very surprised because I thought I'd have to be a junior. But we're here. We're a college student. I'm at community college right now, but next year I'll be at a 4-year with my sister. Well, hopefully we're trying out for the dance team. Again, I'll be the first on a team, hopefully, if I make it. Can't do that again, but hopefully they'll be adults. So hopefully they could be adults about it. We'll see, though. But
adults about being around disabled people?
I'm here to try it out, but yeah, learning's hard.
You mean like people not being immature about?
Yeah, well, we'll see about it, though, because everyone's immature about disability. I mean, we're down the street and I get a look and my sister gives them the death stare. If you watch the film, you see the death stare.
It's always like, it's not necessarily kids or teenagers.
No, I see it more in adults than honestly kids. Like little kids I can take it from because they're curious and I'm like here for them to ask about it. But adults, I'm not here for.
The worst part is when it's like adults with their kid and then they're telling their kid, like, don't look at them.
And then they look.
And then they look and they're like, don't look. Don't be rude, but you're making it worse.
Yeah. I'm like, it's okay to look. Ask questions. That's the point. I'm here to be like, yeah, this is a wheelchair, not a bike.
Like, we're not like a zoo animal or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not like a zoo animal. We don't have, no, you like, okay, you don't need us.
Yeah.
But I love asking everyone this one question. I end it, I end the podcast with this one question all the time. And it is, how are you now living your best disabled life? Basically, how would you say that you're like thriving as a disabled person? What are the things that stand out to you?
I would say I'm living my best disabled life because I'm grateful just to be free, like a person that can do anything because of my wheelchair. I can dance, I can see, I can go out, I can act, I can be, I do what I want.
You mean like the whole idea that people think chairs are restrictive, but the chair actually gives you freedom to pursue.
Wheelchair doesn't define me.
Basically, freedom to pursue your dreams and thrive in life and do whatever you want to do within reason, as long as it's physically possible.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Define me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, talking to me on the podcast. I'm excited for everyone to hear this. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Living My Best Disabled Life. Tune in next time for the next episode.